Hello, this is Jill Pasternak. Welcome to Crossover, the program that explores the universal language, music. Probably one of the most celebrated lullabies in the entire world, the Cradle Song by Johannes Brahms, Wiegenlied, from Five Songs. This is from an album entitled Violin Lullabies, featuring violin virtuoso Rachel Barton Pine with Matthew Hoggle at the piano. In keeping with the birth of the newest heir to the British throne, we're celebrating the birth of many babies this week with an album of violin lullabies. Violinist Rachel Barton Pine was inspired to record this collection after the birth of her own child. "These are beautiful concert pieces," she says, "as compositionally sophisticated as longer works by the same composers. They are equally suited to classical connoisseurs as well as to music novices of all ages." Ms. Pine is our guest today on Crossover. We did speak before. I think the baby had been born already when we last spoke. But I'm just wondering what inspired you to make the album? You were so very busy with the baby. Was it just, something that you had thought about at one point, or did it just come on?
Yeah, well, I have to admit that I had had an interest in lullabies written for the violin going back many years. Of course, I always wanted to have a baby, but I'm also a sheet music collecting geek. And so I had noticed that many composers, from Rysvigi and Sibelius to Ravel and Farré and Stravinsky and Amy Beach, there had been many, many lullabies, classical concert music in the genre of the lullaby written for violin. And no violinist had ever recorded a collection of them. Violinists have recorded albums of romances, for example, where every single track is romance by this guy and romance by that guy, but never the lullabies. And so I had this in the back of my mind. And then when my baby was born, I thought, oh, this would be a great chance to collect these lullabies. And I really wanted to share them with her because, of course, the violin is my favorite instrument. And I knew I had to do it on recording, because if I'm holding my baby, I can't simultaneously be serenading her because I only have two arms. So, of course, I did a lot of singing to my baby and still do. But, when she would be lying there on her nursing pillow and I'd be breastfeeding her, I was there on my laptop collecting lullabies from around the world written for violin. And I ended up compiling more than 150 of them. Classical music lullabies for violin. So it was a real treasure trove. And then, of course, I picked 25 of those to include on the album. And I'm just so thrilled to be able to not only share them with my own baby, but with everybody else.
It's a wonderful idea. Did you find a big difference? Well, of course, lullaby is a lullaby, I guess. But say with the more contemporary composers, with their whole approach, is it all the same? Is it a kind of a melodic and, relaxing kind of melody that they go for? How would you define that?
Yeah, well, actually, I mean, definitely it's sort of a little corner of the violin repertoire that explores the instrument in a way that we don't normally think of. There's no intensity, there's no flashiness or flair, or it's just all very, very subtle, very intimate. But within that sound world, there's actually a great deal of variety. As you said, composers from, different generations, but also different voices from around the world, from, a composer from Finland to Spain, African-American composers, et cetera. And also just sort of different approaches to the lullaby. I ultimately kind of separated them in my mind into three general categories, some that felt really warm and comforting as if they're, you know, soothing and rocking the baby to sleep, others that seemed really dreamy and delicate, almost as if they're describing the sleeping baby, and then some very special lullabies that are sort of otherworldly and mysterious, like the Stravinsky and the Defia, that seem like they're describing the dream itself or something.
Music of Igor Stravinsky. We've just heard the Berceuse, the lullaby from the ballet The Firebird, performed by Rachel Barton Pine, violinist, with Matthew Hoggle at the piano. Well, the whole idea, though, of course, is one that is gentle and I guess, you know, of course, this whole maternal thing, which touches us all.
Yeah, well, I don't want to give credit only to women because there are so many nurturing fathers out there like my husband on the album cover.
Yes, but at the time that some of these composers wrote these, the attitude has changed with men now being part of the raising of the child, the infant and so on. But certainly, I think in Respighi's time maybe or even Defia, you know, with Spanish and Schubert as well. I mean, I think they understood it, but that was not their place, was not in the nursery, if you know what I mean.
Yeah,
and of course,
absolutely.
Now it's a wonderful thing to share. And I think men have been cheated throughout history because of vanity, you know. Music by Ludwig Schwab. We just heard the Berceuse Écossaise, a Scottish lullaby, written by a Czech composer. He was actually a pianist, the accompanist for the famous violinist Jan Kubelik, who at one point married a countess who bore him 8 children. Schwab dedicated this Berceuse Écossaise, a Scottish lullaby, to Madame Marianne Kubelik. And although it was written by a Czech for a Czech, it has a Scottish tune whose origin is not known. But here we have a wonderful collection, and it's a wonderful idea.
Oh, thanks so much. Well, it's really interesting. I asked our program note writer, Pam Blevins of the Maud Powell Society, to not only write the usual thumbnail biographical sketches about each composer, but also to dig into their family life a little bit. I was curious which composers themselves had children. Did they write these lullabies for their own families or, you know, for a friend's child or what? And really interesting to sort of see that side of each of these composers. One of the ones that was so touching was Max Reger. You know, we think of him as a very, you know, serious German contrapuntal composer, and yet his lullaby is just so beautiful and pure and touching. And then Pam found this wonderful archival photo of Reger with his little girl on his knee reading her a storybook.
Beautiful.
You know, it just shows you that there's this other human side to the composers. And, you know, really something about a lullaby touches a fundamental part of ourselves. I think it's almost, you know, the most instinctual kind of music making we have.
Music of Max Reger, his cradle song number one from three compositions performed here by our guest today, Rachel Barton Pine, violinist, with Matthew Hagel at the piano. Probably one of the most popular lullabies of all time from Porgy and Bess by George Gershwin, Summertime. This performance was by our guest today, violinist Rachel Barton Pine, with Matthew Hagel at the piano. This is from a concert fantasia on themes from Gershwin's Porgy and Bess, arranged by Igor Frolov. You know, you have a beautiful picture of the baby on the cover in the most wonderful sleep. Now, is that your baby?
That was my own baby. She was 2 weeks old, and we were doing the birth announcement shoot, and that particular photo just turned out so well. I said, oh my gosh, that's an album cover.
Well, this is I would say that this is really for you a marvelous, I guess, in your heart as well. It's very, very close to you. I really think that it's a wonderful tribute to having a beautiful child and motherhood and childhood.
Absolutely.
And all of that. I mean, but it's done with so much respect. Again, first of all, compiling the list of lullabies, you don't kind of put them in a category. It's a separate category completely. I mean, they're incorporated in works as part of something else, but to collect them all and have them just as a special little collection. It's really amazing. I think it's a wonderful idea.
Well, and it's really interesting also just from a violinistic perspective, to realize that these little miniature pieces, you know, of 2 minutes or 3 minutes long are every bit as sophisticated as larger, more complex works by the same composers when you're talking about, you know, the Fare Berceuse or, the Mother and Child movement of the William Grant Still Suite. These are wonderful classical compositions. And I'm really hoping that this album will not only be a wonderful tool for parents of fussy babies or, you know, something enjoyable for anyone who wants to relax to some pretty little melodic violin pieces, but also that, you know, people might buy this album who aren't necessarily as familiar with classical music and want to share, you know, something meaningful with their kids and not just the usual children's albums of, you know, sort of synthesized kinds of music or whatever. And that, you know, perhaps this will be, you know, I mean, you know, I've devoted so many years of my life to trying to introduce more listeners to classical music, and I'm really hoping that this album will help continue that work, that, you know, maybe somebody will, you know, hear Schubert or Grieg or, you know, one of these guys for the very first time and really like their piece and think, oh, well, what else did this composer write? And that it might also serve as an introduction to classical music.
Probably one of the most well-known pieces, not only lullabies, but the lullaby by Manuel de Falla from his six Canciones Populares Españolas, six popular Spanish songs, performed by Rachel Barton Pine, violinist, with Matthew Hoggle at the piano. I think when you look at the album, you just get this kind of warm feeling, and it's so pure. It's so real. And in this day and age, everything is contaminated, but this still remains. It really remains just the ultimate in purity and beauty and love and the beginning of things. And I think the composers felt that way. I mean, I think you can hear it. Something must have come over them when they were thinking. Just the idea of holding a child in your arms and just kind of, you know, cooing to it. You have to write something different. It's a whole other world.
Well, that's why, you know, it was so hard to choose which ones to put on the disc because, you know, of these 150 or so that I collected, most of them were gorgeous. So I was like, how am I going to eliminate any of them? I love them all. And so
but the answer to that is you either have another baby and have volume two.
You already read my mind.
Okay. Well, I guess your husband has to read your mind as well. Mm-hmm. So he's also devoted to this new. Well, now it's beautiful. Of course, as they get older, you know, you kind of forget those quiet moments, but it is a wonderful thing. And I think it's beautiful. That's really the word for it. It's so touching and lovely. When I received this in the mail, I opened it up. I saw this baby just sleeping there. But we'll accept that. And so now is this, are you free now to concertize? How old is the baby now?
Well, Sylvia is a year and a half old, and actually she started touring with me when she was 3 weeks old. You know, my usual schedule resumed right away, a different city or country every week. And Sylvia already has 16 stamps in her passport.
Wow.
So she's been along for the journey the whole way, and we've been very lucky.
What language will she learn first?
Well, English and then violin. She already has a little 1/32nd size that she's learning how it works. So that's been really fun.
That's amazing. Well, there are the very tiny ones, aren't there?
Exactly.
3/4 or quarter?
Well, no, it's 1/32nd.
1/32nd. How big is that?
It's perfectly proportioned for a not yet 2-year-old.
Oh my!
So a little teeny tiny violin for a little tiny person.
How does she take to it, actually?
Oh, she loves it. Yeah, she brings it to me every day, and she wants to. I mean, physically, she doesn't have the coordination yet to do much with it, but she knows how to hold it, and she knows what all the parts are named, and yeah, so it's really fun. And of course, speaking of violins, I should mention that
your
the particular
gorgeous one. Yeah.
So the violin with which I sing all of these violin lullabies is a 1742 Guarneri del Gesù, which in the 1800s. Was personally chosen by Brahms himself for one of his protégés, Marie Soldat, who was a frequent chamber music collaborator with Brahms at the piano. And also, Marie Soldat was one of the first champions of the Brahms Violin Concerto.
Yes.
And when she got to the point in her career where she needed a great instrument for her concerts, Brahms found an aristocratic family who agreed to purchase a violin for her use, and Brahms himself picked this one, and to be able to play the beloved Brahms lullaby on the very violin
that Brahms himself chose. Right, right.
It's pretty amazing.
Well, you could extend this so many different ways, and your sensitivity to all of this is enhances the story even more so. So we're going to have to. How many years are we going to wait for a duo album? Let me see now.
Well, if my daughter becomes serious about the violin or another instrument, that would be great. If she has other passions in life, I mean, my family never expected me to be a violinist, so she could, have a calling that I would never have expected. Who knows? It'll be fascinating to see, who she is and who she becomes. But my main goal is that music is an important part of her life, that she knows and understands music and has a relationship with music and is able to play an instrument for her pleasure. And whether that means professionally or not will be up to her. But I want to make sure that she has the opportunity, as I believe every child should have.
We listen now to music by William Grant Still, a pioneer amongst African Americans. He was the first to have an opera produced by a major company, the New York City Opera, in 1949. The first to have a symphony performed by a major orchestra, his Afro-American Symphony, the New York Philharmonic did that in 1935. He was the first to conduct a major orchestra, the Los Angeles Philharmonic, in 1936, and the first to conduct an orchestra in the Deep South. That's the New Orleans Philharmonic of 1955. He settled in Los Angeles, where he arranged music for films, and he was married twice. He had 4 children with his first wife, whom he married in 1915, and 2 with pianist and writer Verna Arvey, whom he married in 1939. What we hear now is something from a suite that he wrote for violin and piano in 1943 entitled Mother and Child. And the suite was inspired by a lithograph that he saw by African-American artist Sergeant Claude Johnson. Rachel Barton Pine now performs Mother and Child from the Suite for Violin and Piano by William Grant Still. Violin virtuoso Rachel Barton Pine with Matthew Hoggle at the piano, performing Mother and Child from the Suite for Violin and Piano by William Grant Still. Well, music is a gift. I mean, it's a gift to whoever it is studying. It's a gift if you are musical as well, but if you are allowed to follow through children. It's a wonderful gift for them, to them.
And that's why I'm so excited about this album, because I feel like it's a gift, you know, that I'm able to give to, you know, parents and grandparents and children everywhere, and share, you know, some of, you know, the love that I have for the violin and for my baby with everybody else out there.
How lucky you are to be able to do it. You know, a lot of people have those same thoughts, and they're just not, they're certainly not violinists, and they don't have an opportunity to do something like this. It really is a very, very special gift, and you're lucky to have been able to do it, and it's, we thank you again in the music world for this. Anything coming up, you know, in terms of another album? Do you have something in the back of your mind?
Oh, well, actually, just finishing up editing the next CD already. It's just about ready to go. So we recorded it last year, and now it's just, you know, being put the final touches on it, on the editing process. But that'll be the Mendelssohn Violin Concerto paired with the Schumann Violin Concerto, as well as the Beethoven Romances. That album is going to come out in September. So very excited about that. Of course, that'll be quite different than the lullabies, but hopefully, you know, some of the families that might have discovered the lullabies will be interested in continuing their exploration of classical music with some of the great violin concertos, and, you know, nothing greater than the Mendelssohn.
Would you say them? I don't know if it's the most famous, or perhaps it's...
Well, it's among, you know, the top five, you know, people love, what is it, Beethoven, Brahms, Mendelssohn, Tchaikovsky, you know, and I've already recorded Beethoven and Brahms, so this was the logical next step. And, of course, I've played the Mendelssohn myself since I was a child.
I was going to say, right, that's the, one of the first. It's not a matter of being easier, but that is seems to be one of the first that a lot of young students do learn.
Yeah, well, I mean, technically you can play the notes when you're not as advanced, but of course, to play the notes well is a lifelong pursuit.
Well, that goes without saying for anything, you know. I mean, there's learning it and then making it your own and understanding it. And as you mature too, your attitudes change. I think that musicians find that all the time, that they revisit things they've played when they were many years, you know, younger, and there's a deeper insight, you know, because life does that to you, and you do interpret things differently. But we're going to keep up with you, Rachel. And again, just congratulations. And it's, my hat's off to you for these beautiful violin lullabies. And we'll await your next release very, very anxiously.
Sounds good. Thanks so much.
And thanks again for coming to Crossover.
Thank you.
Thanks, Rachel. Bye-bye.
Bye.
We've been speaking with violin virtuoso Rachel Barton Pine about her recently released CD of violin lullabies on the CD label. Although not represented on this particular CD, Rachel says she feels a special bond to the music of Bach, which goes back to her childhood church performances. From her 2004 solo CD entitled simply Solo Baroque, we hear the Sonata No. 1 in G minor, BWV 1001 by Johann Sebastian Bach. Miss Barton Pine performs on a 1770 Nicola Galliano violin. We just heard Johann Sebastian Bach's Sonata No. 1 in G minor, BWV 1001, performed by violinist Rachel Barton Pine on her original 1770 Baroque violin. I'm Jill Pasternak. Until next time.
For a second listen to selected Crossover interviews, visit WRTI.org. Crossover was produced by Jill Pasternak in the studios of WRTI Philadelphia for the WRTI Radio Network. This is Joe Hattie, Crossover's technical producer. Crossover is syndicated nationally by Global Media Group, Incorporated. Thanks for listening.